we present Kenneth Haig, Tom Georgeson, and Joanne Pierce in Flight, a play in eight dreams by Mikhail Bulgakov, translated by Michael Glennie.
Now the whole time seems like a dream. The kind of fantastic nightmare that is true and could only happen in Russia. I reach back into the mist and the swirling faces, and the first dream steadies itself like a camera coming into focus. It is southern Russia in 1920, inside the Abbey Church of St. Nicholas. The only light comes from a few votive candles flickering in front of icons. Outside, the October evening is sleeting. Makhrov, a long-haired, bearded man wearing a sheepskin jacket and a fur hat, leans on the windowsill, looking out into the murk. On a bench lies what appears to be a pregnant woman, wrapped in a horse blanket. A young woman dressed in a fur coat sits on the abbot's throne. She looks ill. Beside her, on the abbot's footstool, is Golubkov, a young man with Petersburg written all over him.
Can you hear the monks? There must be in the crypt underneath us. I can hardly believe any of this. There are times I'm quite sure I'm dreaming. We've been on the run for a month. The further we go, the weirder it seems. And now, we've ended up in a church. During that terrible fighting this morning, I suddenly felt so homesick for Petersburg. I could see the green, shaded lamp in my study quite clearly.
Fatal, Sergei. No place for nostalgia when you're running away. Maybe you should have stayed.
No, no, we can't turn back now. And you know what keeps me going? Since that day, we bumped into each other under the lamplight in the guard's van. It's you who make this nightmare bearable, Serafima. And I shall feel proud and happy when we reach the Crimea, and I can hand you back to your husband. Oh, your hand is very hot. Have you got a temperature?
It's nothing.
Oh, you're feverish.
That woman in the blanket's pregnant. One of us must try to get through to the village. There's sure to be a midwife there.
I'll go. Madame!
Oh.
What? Why don't you want him to go?
Don't bother.
That is a most peculiar person.
Makhrov,
do you think...
I don't think anything. But in troubled times like these, one is apt to couch with some strange bedfellows. Mysterious woman lying in a church.
Papers! Have your papers ready, good people? Have your papers ready?
I must blow out the icon candles.
Job, job, old monks! Mercy inspection with us. Hey, you! Father Superior, or whatever you call yourself. Where's the spiral staircase up to the belfry?
Here.
You, trooper!
Sir!
Take the lantern and have a look up there. Was there a light in the belfry?
Light? What light? Oh, there's no...
There was a flashing light up there. If I find anybody up in that belfry, I'll put every last one of you up against the wall, including you, you old black devil! You've been signaling to the whites with a lantern.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Who are all these people? You said there were no strangers in this monastery.
They're refugees.
Comrade, we were caught in the village when the firing started this morning, and we ran to the monastery for safety. This woman is going to give birth at any moment.
Is she really? Hey, miss. Just a hand in your blanket, eh? Too modest to show your face. Mother Blanchicola, married woman.
Lord of Opera Service, Holy Demetrius, blessed part of service.
Where's your husband? You've chosen a fine time and place to have a baby, haven't you? Next.
Makhrov.
Papers.
I'm a chemist from Marinpol.
A lot of you chemists in the front line area.
Well, I was out buying food. Cucumbers and...
Cucumbers.
Coming by. There was nobody up in the balcony, but I saw something else.
Did you, by God? Where were they coming from?
Well, it was pitch dark, but I saw them all right, Comrade Commander.
All right, let's go. Now, you monks wouldn't get mixed up in a civil war, would you?
Oh, no.
No, you just pray, I suppose. But who do you pray for? The Black Barons or the Soviets? I'll be back soon, and I'll sort you out tomorrow.
Have mercy on us, Lord, have mercy on us. I must relight the icon candles.
Now it is truly written, thou shalt brand them with a mark on their hand and on their brow.
Did you see that five-pointed star?
I can't make it out. I thought this area was occupied by the whites. What were those reds doing here? Have they suddenly broken through? How could this happen?
It happened because General Krupp is an arsehole. Pardon, madame.
How does she know that?
Well, he sent a signal that the red cavalry had outflanked him. And he got rotted, so he put off deciphering it until next morning. And then he sat down to play whist instead. And nothing but a stuffed dummy in red breeches.
Oh, what a curious person.
Who is she, Makarov?
Ask her.
Excuse me, madame, but I was told General Charnota's headquarters was supposed to be here in the Kuchulan.
Oh, you're told right. Only now it's gone.
And where's it gone to?
Hell!
How do you happen to know all this,
madame? Well, Makarov, whatever your name is, you're very inquisitive for an archbishop, aren't you?
What do you mean, calling me an archbishop?
Oh, shut up. Go away. You're boring.
Have mercy on us. Blow out all the candles.
What is it now?
Oh, sir, how are we to know who the Lord has sent us? We may all be dead by morning. What's happening out there? Is it a fire?
Oh. Oh, those are torches. I simply don't understand it.
They're white troops. I swear they're whites. Oh. We're saved. Thank God, Seraphim, with the whites are back. The officers are wearing epaulettes.
Be quiet, you bloody useless little intellectual. Keep your trap shut. This isn't Petersburg. This is the human clade. And just because they're wearing epaulettes, it doesn't mean they're white. Supposing they're reds disguised in white uniforms. Fuck them, eh? Ah, Christ. They started to ring the bell. That means those idiotic monks have seen them too. What tone are the breeches?
Red. There are more riding into the courtyard, and they're wearing blue breeches with red down the sides.
Red down the sides? God, help us all. Do you mean they have red stripes?
Come on!
That's the peace on boys. Now you can shout. You have my full permission to yell your head off.
Good.
Everything over here! Hello there!
Hello, under the blanket is a Cossack general.
All Cossack! Come to the report to me!
Grisha, I can't believe my eyes! You're alive! You escaped!
Please! With long hair, a general who's pregnant, and now a nurse and a leather jerkin and riding boots. What next?
Does it mean we're safe?
Well, listen, men! General Chandler has escaped from the red!
And we were going to hold a memorial service for you.
She was. I wouldn't believe it till I saw it.
Well, I'll tell you, De Brisa. I was as near to death as I am to you. I'd ridden over to Captain Cook's headquarters, and the son of a bitch sat me down to play whist. And suddenly, there was a burst of machine gun fire. But Johnny had dropped in on us, peppered the whole place. I had to shoot my way out. Jumped through a window, over a back garden, till I landed in a village schoolmaster's house, a man called Babanchikov. Quick, I said, give me your papers, in case they catch me. And he was in such a panic, he picked up the wrong papers, so that when I tripped into this monastery, I looked at them, and they were his wife's papers. Madame Babanchikov, and what's more, there was a doctor's certificate saying she was pregnant. And the place was crawling with reds. So I had to creep into church as I was, and I lay down and pretended I was having a baby. And then, I heard spurs clinking.
Who was it?
It was Bajoni's regimental commanders.
Oh, God.
Just you watch your step, you Bolshevik, I thought to myself. I had a loaded revolver under my blanket. Go on, lift it up. They'll give you a lovely funeral. He took my passport and never touched that blanket. And now, Lyushka, we must show ourselves to the man. Bravo, Joppa! Well done, lad!
Well, I'm going to lift up a few blankets in here. Damn me if I don't hang somebody in the monastery just for fun. I suppose the Reds are in such a hurry they overlooked this bunch. You! Oh, I needn't ask this one for his papers. I can tell your sort from the length of your hair. Pavilion, bring some light over here.
Yes, sir.
What are you doing? Don't you know who this is? His Grace the Right Reverend Archbishop Athanasius.
What the hell are you gibbering about, you black devil?
Perhaps if I remove my fur hat and my jerkin.
What? The real Archbishop, eh? How on earth did you get here?
I came to Kuchulan to bless the Don Cossack Corps, and the Reds captured me during a raid. The monks provided me with some papers, thank God.
I'm damned. Papers, woman!
I am the wife of the Deputy Minister of Trade. I was stranded in Petersburg. My husband has already reached the Crimea, and I'm on my way to join him. These are false papers. This is my real passport. My name is Korzhukin.
Mille excuse, madame. And what about you there, you great long caterpillar? I suppose you are the prosecutor of the Holy Synod.
Excuse me, but I am not a caterpillar, and I'm certainly not the procurator of the Holy Synod. I am the son of Professor Golubkov, the famous philosopher, and I am a university teacher. I have escaped from Petersburg to join the Whites because it has become impossible for me to go on working there.
Oh, well, that's charming. This isn't a monastery at all. It's Noah's Ark. And what have we got coming up here out of the cellar?
Father Abbot, take care. His Grace the Archbishop. Brother monks, come up. We have snatched our Lord Archbishop from the sinful clutches of the socialists. My lord, receive again thy pastoral staff, and with it comfort and succor thy flock.
Look down from heaven, O God. Behold this thy vineyard, and stretch out thy right hand over it.
Are you all gone? This is no time for a holding of service. Clear out all of it. Get out.
Brethren.
Archbishop, we've got to get out of here. The Reds are on our heels, but Yoni is pushing us into the sea. We must get to the Crimea and join up with Romain Rudolph.
Oh, this is terrible. Is there perhaps a wagon I could ride on?
Well, see what you can find out there. And don't forget to put your fur hat and jerkin on, hmm? Kaverin, give me the map. Give me the map. Bring the light over here.
Yes, sir.
We're cut off. It's hopeless.
Damn that fool, Krebchikov.
Wait a minute. There's a loophole. Look, Debisa.
Look. Take your regiment and head straight for the Almanac River. Draw the Reds after you for a bit, then disengage, double back, and ford the river at Barai-Gai. Even if you have to swim for it. Now, I'll follow you with the Don Cossacks and make for this Dukhobor settlement here. And then I'll wheel southwest to the railway line at Arbat, and I'll meet you there. Move off 5 minutes.
Very good, sir.
And now, Colonel, give me a sweep from your flask.
Yeah, yes. Did you hear that, Serafima? We must go with them or we'll be caught by the Reds again. Serafima, why don't you answer? What's the matter?
Too tired.
General, I beg you to take us with you. Mrs. Korzhukin is sick. Have you got a field hospital?
Did you go to university?
Yes, of course.
Because you strike me as being completely stupid. I mean, what the hell good's a field hospital going to be if you get a bullet through your head about that guy? Huh? Why didn't you ask if we had an X-ray machine to... Christ, huh? Intellectual. Come on, give me some more of that.
We must take her, though. She's pretty. And if the Red get her, you know what they'll do.
Serafima, get up. We're going.
It's okay. I think I'm ill. You go on alone. I'll find a bed here.
You can't stay here, Serafima.
I want a drink. I want to go home. Petersburg.
What's the matter with her?
Typhus.
You must leave this place, madame, or the Reds will get you. Oh, hell, I'm no good at talking to people. Krepilin, you're a great talker. Persuade her.
Yes, sir. You must go.
Come on, time to go!
Krepilin, pick her up. We'll have to move her by force.
Very good, love.
Put her in one of the wagons.
Quickly, come on, we must get out of here.
I couldn't.
Get you out! General!
How are you going?
Oh, my God, the abbot from underground again.
You can't abandon us now. How can you leave this monastery to its fate when it has given you aid and succor?
Oh, but get out of my way, Father. Tie up the bell clappers and hide in the cellar.
At the door! Goodbye!
Oh, Father Abbot, what are we going to do? The Reds will soon be here, and we used our bells to signal to the wire. Must we wear the martyr's crown?
But the Archbishop, where is he?
God, in a wagon with the baggage train.
Oh, unworthy shepherd, thus to leave his flock.
Pray, brethren in the crypt. Pray. Pray.
And now the darkness covers them. The monastery, the monks, the Father Abbot. And the second dream begins, even colder, darker. The waiting room of a large railway station in the Crimea. The headquarters of the White Army Group has been installed here for 3 days, and for 3 days it has not slept. Behind the glass partition of the operations room, 3 staff officers are permanently talking to telephones. And concealed by a blank wooden partition is the counterintelligence section. In the first-class buffet, sitting on a high stool at the bar, is General Roman Fludov. Bone-white face, black hair, looking younger than the others, but with the eyes of an old man. Fludov is sick from head to foot, a man who arouses fear. Near him, at a table with several telephones, Captain Golovan is typing his dictation.
Come on. But the Red Army commander, Frunze, did not feel inclined to act the part of the enemy, as if we were on maneuvers, full stop. This is not a game of chess, nor is it Chaskoye a bloody cello. Full stop. Sign. Kluger. Full stop.
Countess, I'm sending to the commander in chief.
Yes, sir. Operation? Yes, Lieutenant.
Operation? Kluger.
Yes.
This. No. Yes. Golovan, send in the station commandant.
Commandant! Commandant!
I've been waiting an hour for the armored train. What's wrong, man? What's wrong?
Station
what's
master,
wrong?
Says, sir, that the train can't get through.
Then send the station master to me. Nobody loves us, Captain Golovan, and because of that, all our troubles are starting. I can smell something. It's that stove giving off fumes. It's dangerous.
I can't smell any fumes, sir.
The station master's here.
Did you report that the armored train can't get through?
Yes, General. We've tried to shunt it by hand, but the point of road...
We knew I could smell fumes. They must be coming from that stove over there.
Oh, yes, sir. I'll put it out, sir. Yes, yes, the fumes all right.
Come back here.
Yes, sir, yes.
I don't know why, but I somehow feel that you're well in with the Bolsheviks. There's a cunning look about you.
Oh, I never should you suspect me, General. I thought there's a children. Served for years under Emperor Nicholas. Algren Paul, they call us. The Speaker, the Duma, Mr. Rodchenko, sir, he knows me personally. No, of course, I don't agree with his policy.
You're an honest man, aren't you, love? Your family makes good love worth wonders, especially in war. Tiki, come here.
Nobody loves
me, though. You're right, Tiki. He's counterintelligence.
Yes, sir.
Detail a squad of sappers to help shunt that armored train. I give you 15 minutes to have it on the main line with the signal at green. If my order is not carried out by then, arrest the commandant and hang the station master from the signal gantry.
Oh, General, sir, my kids don't even go to school yet. They're only babies.
Stop drooling and get in there. You've got some phone calls to make. Come on.
All right.
What's that music?
That'll be Charlotte, sir. He's due to arrive about now.
Listen, Christopher Theodorovich, for Christ's sake, get all the goblins stuck from traps 4 and 5, shunted onto the Taganashwagen. There'll be a squad of sappers to help you. I don't care how you do it, but get it done.
And now, Charnota's cavalry sweeps into the station, accompanied by the remnants of a military band on horseback. It happens all the time in dreams.
Officers, cavalry division. Reporting, General. From the Changa Depot.
The nurse, Liuska, is with him. Kludov stares and says nothing.
General, what's going on here? Roman, stop staring at me like that and say something.
Shut up. And put your hat back on.
What?
Leave your baggage train here and take your men to Karpov Gorge. Hold the line there for as long as you can.
Very good.
Where to?
Karpov Gorge.
I'm coming with you. Just let me get rid of the wounded and the woman with typhus.
It'll be dangerous. You may get killed.
What if I do?
Oh, my God, Christopher Feodorovich, you made it. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
General Kuznov! General!
Well, my dear fellow, you seem to have done the trick. Is the train on the main line?
Yes, General, it is. The train's ready to move.
General, allow me to introduce myself. Of course, you can. Deputy Minister of Trade. The Council of Ministers has instructed me to put three questions to you. I have just arrived from Sebastopol. Firstly, what has happened to five workmen who were arrested in Simferopol and brought here on your orders?
Oh, yes, of course. You must have arrived on the other platform and crossed over. Captain, show the prisoners to the Deputy Minister.
Come in here, sir. There they are. Well, there you go.
Along the platform, hanging from the lampposts.
Oh. Does that answer your first question? Next question, please.
The second directly concerns my own ministry. A particularly important consignment of goods has gone astray at this station. I should like to request your cooperation, General, and your permission to move it to Sebastopol as a matter of urgency.
What does this consignment consist of?
Furs. For export.
Ah, furs. For export. How many truckloads?
This is the waybill with full details.
Captain Golladan, shunt all the trucks on this waybill into a siding, douse them in petrol, and set fire to them.
Yes, sir.
Third question.
What is the situation at the front?
Oh, what do you expect? Chaos. Gunfire. Someone's trying to gas me with a stove that gives off poisonous fumes. Commander-in-Chief has sent me a present of some Kuban Cossacks, but they can't fight because they haven't got any boots. There's no food and no women. Do you really want to know what the situation is? Go straight back to Sebastopol, Mr. Korzhukin, and tell those yellow weevils in your so-called government to start packing their bags. The Reds will be here tomorrow, and tell them that a few whores in Paris are going to have to do without their fur coats.
This is monstrous. I shall regard it as my duty to report you personally to the Commander-in-Chief.
Please do.
When is the next train to Sebastopol?
Special
Justice
from
Cayman
Commander-in-Chief.
That'll be the Commander-in-Chief.
Gentlemen, attention! Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, Your Excellency.
Permission to report to you in private, sir.
Very good. Everybody leave the room. Archbishop Athanasius, I'm talking to the Chief of Staff in confidence, of course.
I trust all is well.
Well, 3 hours ago, the enemy took Yushun. The Bolsheviks are in the Crimea.
Is this the end?
Yes.
Archbishop.
Yes?
Archbishop. Abandoned by the Western European powers, stabbed in the back by the treacherous Poles, there is nothing left for us in this fearful hour but to call on the mercy of God.
Lord, have mercy.
Pray, Archbishop.
Why, Almighty God, why dost thou send ever new tribulations upon thy children, upon these warriors?
Excuse me interrupting you, Your Grace, but why bother God now? It's obvious he gave us up long ago. Our sand has run out, and it's the Bolsheviks' turn.
General, this is blasphemy.
I categorically forbid you to speak in this tone, Kuzov. You are obviously ill, and I'm sorry you didn't go abroad this summer for a cure, as I advised you.
Oh, for God's sake. And if I'd gone, who would have made your troops hold the Isthmus of Perekop? Who would have sent Charnota tonight to delay the Reds at Karpov Court? Who would have done your hanging for you? I ask you, Your Excellency. Who would have been your hangman?
General, be careful.
Oh, Lord, look down upon them. Give them light and strengthen them. For Holy Russia is divided against
you. However, there is no time now.
No, there is no time. You must go back to Sebastopol immediately.
Yes. Please read the contents of this envelope and then destroy them at once.
Ah, you came prepared, so you knew in advance. Good, good. Now, Lord, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. Very good, sir.
His Excellency's train. Escort, staff.
Clear the line to Cayman Commercy. Clear the line.
Gentlemen, Chief of Staff will give you my orders. May the Lord God send you strength and good fortune to survive our country's terrible fate. I tell you honestly that we no longer hold any territory in the Crimea.
Good evening, Your Imperial
Majesty! Countess! For one rendezvous with you, I'll tell the secrets of my heart.
What is this?
Colonel Count de Brizard, sir, commanding the White Hussars. Head wounds and concussions, sir.
Well, put him on my train and send him to Sebastopol.
Come on, Archbishop. Let's get out of here. The Lord have mercy on you all.
Golovan, take him out.
I'm terribly sorry. Countess, for one rendezvous with you.
Come on, Colonel. You're going to Sebastopol.
I'm very sorry. Why, I didn't mean...
Commander-in-Chief's orders for the day. Send a dispatch rider to General Barbovich at Karpov Gorge. Order. Disengage from the enemy, make for Yalta at the gallop, and embark.
Amen.
Send another to General Kuchipov. Disengage, head for Sebastopol, and embark. Vostikov and his Kuban Cossacks to Theodosia. Kalinin and the Don Cossacks to Kiev. Charnoto to Sebastopol. All troops to embark. This headquarters is to be moved immediately to Sebastopol. The Crimea has surrendered.
Dispatch riders! Dispatch riders!
Roll up all the mats. Disconnect the phones and burn all papers.
Please, you can't come in here. This woman's got typhus. Krupina, don't let her go.
That's
right.
She's got typhus.
Which of you is a romance you got?
It's all right. Bring her here. I'm Kludov.
Don't listen to her. She's a sick woman.
We've been running away ever since we left Petersburg. Everyone keeps saying, Kludov, he'll take care of us. I even dream about Kludov. So now I'm allowed to see him sitting on a bar stool surrounded by men dangling in the air with sacks over their heads. Rows and rows of hanged men. Beast! Jekyll!
She's got typhus. She's delirious. We've just arrived in General Charnota's wagon train.
Hee-hee, good in.
Who are they? Are they coming for us?
Are you crazy? She's the wife of Kozhukin, the deputy minister of trade. She doesn't know what she's saying.
Good. As far as I can see, when people do know what they're saying, you can't get a word of truth out of them.
She's Kozhukin's wife.
Wait. Kozhukin... the man with the furs. So he's not only a swine. He has a wife who's a communist, has he? Ah, here's Tiki. You'll like him. Everyone does. Get out onto the platform. Stop Kozhukin. Bring him in here straight away.
Gorin, you go. What is your name?
Her name's Seraphima. Seraphima Kozhukin.
What is this? I have been ordered to go to the platform.
Are you Paramount Kozhukin?
Yes, I am.
God... You were coming here to meet us.
Your wife, Seraphima, has arrived from Petersburg to see you.
I know no one called Seraphima. I have never seen this woman before in my life. I'm not expecting to meet anyone from Petersburg. This is a trick.
You daren't acknowledge me, you loathsome brute.
This is blackmail.
Kozhukin, for God's sake. What are you saying, man? You can't do this.
Are you telling the truth? Well, that's your business, Mr. Kozhukin. And I wish you luck of it. You have your furs. Get out.
Yes. Please. Interrogators. I have them prove she's his
Get
wife.
Get them both out of here, Tiki, and interrogate them.
Gurin, put these two on the trip of Sebastopol train.
No, don't. I can see you're not fooled.
I can prove it.
He's the only real man I've met. Since
I left Petersburg! Kapilin! They said you were no good at talking! Say something!
All right. I
will say something. It's like she says, Kludov. You are a jackal! But you can't win a war just by tying knots and hanging people. Weren't you satisfied, swine, when you sent my regiment to be slaughtered at Perekop? Wasn't that enough? Now you've got hold of a woman. All she did was take pity on the men you've hanged. But no one can get away from you, can they? Into the sack and hoist them up. What do you feed yourself on? Dead men's flesh.
Permission to remove him, sir?
No, Tiki. Wait a minute. There's some sense in what he says about winning the war. Go on, soldier, go on.
Go in. Get a board and some chalk.
In a sack?
Of course.
Go on, soldier. What's your name?
What does it matter? I'm just Private Kapilin.
But your time is coming, butcher, when you'll finish up dead in the gutter just to wait, sitting there on your bathroom. But you won't wait, will you? You're running away to Constantinople, coward! All you can do is hang women and civilians.
You're wrong, soldier. At Chongar, I led my troops and I was wounded twice. I went into action with Ban's play.
Yes, and if your Ban's hadn't played you, madman, half those men would be alive now.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, forgive me, sir. I'm nobody, sir, just Private Capilin. I don't know what I've been saying.
Too late. You began well, but you finished badly on your knees. Hang him! I can't bear the sight of him.
Come on, Private Cookie. You were a wise man when you kept your mouth shut. Oh.
All this back riders have left, sir. All your orders are being carried out.
Everybody, get on the train. Right. Have my escort fall in on the platform and give me that phone.
Yes, sir.
Chief of Staff speaking. Tell the commander of the armored train to proceed up the line as far as he can go and fire at random all the way. When he gets to Pagan, I shall stop and bombard the town till it's flat. We'll give them something to remember us by. Then full steam back to Sebastopol and rip up the track behind him. What's the matter with me? Am I sick? Something's the matter. But I don't know what.
The shock of the shelling is so violent that all the station lights go out, and the platform becomes visible, lit by a weak blue light from a row of lamp standards. Hanging from the nearest is a hooded man with a board tied to his chest, marked Private Krapilin, Bolshevik. Beyond him, all along the platform, hang other hooded men. Not a dream this time. A nightmare. But the nightmare isn't over yet. It's beginning again. In the office of the White Counterintelligence in Sebastopol, where Tiki, wearing civilian clothes now, is sitting at his desk.
Good in. Single of coffin.
Sit down, please. Thank you. You, I take it, are a reasonably intelligent person.
Well,
so I'm sure you realize how important it is for us to find out the truth. The Reds have been spreading disgusting rumors about the counterintelligence service. In reality, we are doing an honest and extremely difficult job in guarding the state against the Bolsheviks. Do you agree?
Well, I... You see,
are you afraid of me?
Yes.
But why? Did anyone do you any harm while you were being brought here to Sebastopol?
Oh, no.
Smoke?
Thank you, I don't smoke. Please, tell me, how is she?
Who?
Serafima Kozhukin, the woman who was arrested with me. I swear the whole thing was just a ridiculous misunderstanding. She had a fit of delirium. She's seriously ill.
Now, don't get excited. Calm down. We shall talk about her in a moment or two. Right. Now you can
stop playing the absent-minded professor! I'm bored with this play-acting, you filthy little traitor! Don't you know who I am? Stand up! Stand to attention! Hands to your sides!
Oh, my God, what...
What is your real name? Answer me!
But my real name is Golubkov.
Do you realize that you are completely in my power? This revolver is loaded. No one is going to help you now. You understand?
Yes, I
right.
understand.
So we can agree on one thing. You are going to tell me the absolute truth.
Look at this. It is an electric needle. The moment you start lying, I shall switch it on and touch you with it.
I swear my name really is good.
Shut up!
Just answer my questions. Well, sit down, please.
What is your name? Patronymic and surname?
Sergei Pavlovich Glukov.
Permanent residence?
Petrograd.
Why did you leave Soviet Russia and enter territory under white control?
I've been trying to reach the Crimea. Because conditions in Petrograd are so bad that I find it impossible to work there. In the train, I met Serafima Kozhukin, who was also trying to escape, and together she and I joined the Whites.
Why did this woman who calls herself Serafima Kozhukin come to White territory?
I know that she really is Serafima Kozhukin.
You were there at the station when Kozhukin said she was lying.
He was the one who was lying, I swear it.
Why should he lie?
He was frightened because he realized he was in danger. What are you doing? Don't touch the needle. I'm telling the truth.
Your nerves are upset, Mr. Golubkov. I am writing down your statement. That's all. How long has she been in the Communist Party?
That's impossible. She can't be.
Well, she is. Look, why don't you write down everything you have just said? I'll dictate it to make it easier for you. I warn you that if you stop, I shall touch you with this needle. So you have nothing to fear as long as you go on writing. I, the undersigned Golubkov, Sergei Pavlovich, when questioned at the counterintelligence section of the Southern Front headquarters, on 31st October 1920, made the following statement. : Serafima Vladimirovna Kozhukin, wife of Paramon Ilyich Kozhukin,
don't stop!
A member of the Communist Party, left Petrograd and entered the territory occupied by the armed forces of southern Russia for the purposes of spreading communist propaganda and establishing contact with the communist underground movement in the town of Sevastopol. Full stop. Signed, Golubkov, lecturer, Petrograd University. Thank you for your frank and honest statement, Mr. Golubkov. I have no doubt of your complete innocence. I'm sorry I had to be a little sharp with you. You may go.
Take the prisoner outside and release him. He is free to go.
Come on!
Lieutenant Skonsky!
Take a look at this statement. How much do you think Kozhukin will pay to buy it?
Well, here on the quayside, $10,000. Less in Constantinople. Get a confession out of his wife as well.
Yes. Find some excuse to stop Kozhukin going on board for an hour or so.
What's my share?
Two?
Right. Hurry up with the woman. The cavalry will start embarking soon.
Go in, Kozhukin woman. Is she conscious?
Seems to be making sense.
Bring her in.
Right.
Are you still ill?
Yes, I am.
I won't keep you long. Sit down there on the divan. Admit that you came here to spread propaganda, and I shall let you go.
Me? What propaganda? Oh, God, why did I ever come here? What's that music? Why are they playing a waltz?
No, it's Tronota's cavalry on the way to the quayside. Don't change the subject. Your accomplice, Golubkov, has stated that you came here to spread communist propaganda.
Will you please go away, Lady? I want to see.
No! Wake up! Read the statement!
Communist propaganda. He's gone out of his mind. There's your statement. Help! Help! It's a bomb!
Blast! He's stuck in the window.
Dorian,
get that document from us. Smooth it out.
What's happening over there?
Bernardo!
What's going on here?
Bernardo, look what they're trying to do to me. Look what they forced me to sign.
Give me that statement.
Kindly leave the counterintelligence offices at once. Get out!
Who are you telling to get out?
Lieutenant Strunsky, call the guard.
Yeah. Well, hell with the guard. One more step, I'll put a bullet in you. What are you doing to this woman?
Strunsky, put the light out. Hey, Dorian! Get hold of a man!
You are going to regret this, General Charnota.
How many times has that dream been dreamed? And in how many countries? But there is a particular blend of tragedy and farce that is uniquely Russian, and that is the fourth dream, in a large room in what was once the governor's palace in Sebastopol. It is night, and there is a big fire in the fireplace for burning papers as well as keeping warm. De Brizard is sitting in front of it, his head bandaged, when the commander-in-chief walks in.
Well, how's your head?
It's stopped aching, thank you, sir. The doctor gave me some aspirin.
I see. Aspirin. Tell me, do you think I look like Alexander the Great?
I'm afraid I haven't seen any pictures of His Majesty for a long time.
Well, who are you talking about?
Alexander the Great, sir.
Look, Colonel, you need a rest. I've been glad to put you up here. You deserved it as an officer who has done his duty to his country, but now it's time for you to go.
Where am I to go, sir?
On board ship. Once we are safe abroad, I shall see you are taken care of.
Yes, sir. When the Reds are finally beaten, I shall be happy to be the first to report to your Majesty in the Kremlin.
You need not put it quite so forcefully, Colonel. Thank you for all you have done, and now just go.
Yes, sir. Countess, for one rendezvous with you, I would share my heart with my friends.
Orderly!
Yes, sir?
I'll see the others now. Send them in at 3-minute intervals. And send the Cossack to escort Colonel de Brizard to a cabin in my quarters on the ship, and write a note to the ship's doctor that he won't kill that man by giving him aspirin.
Sir!
Alexander the Great. The fools! What do you want?
Kozhukin, Deputy Minister of Trade.
Ah, yes. I was meaning to send for you, even though we are somewhat pressed. Mr. Kozhukin, do you think I look like Alexander the Great? I'm asking you seriously, do I look like him? You're the editor of this newspaper, aren't you? Hmm? Look, there's your name. Editor Paramon Kozhukin. The commander-in-chief, like Alexander the Great, walks up and down the platform. What is this ridiculous trash supposed to mean? There weren't any railway platforms in Alexander the Great's time. And it goes on. One look at his cheerful face, and every worm of doubt is bound to melt away. Really, man, I could write better myself. Since when have worms melted away? And you call me cheerful? Cheerful, am I? If I'm cheerful, think yourself lucky you haven't seen me when I'm angry. How dare you put this cheap, sycophantic gribble, Kozhukin? A mere 2 days before I'm forced to flee from Russian soil in ignominious defeat. When we get to Constantinople, I shall have you court-martialed. And if your head's aching, which I hope it is, take an aspirin.
Oh, who the hell's that?
And why doesn't someone answer it?
Well, it serves me right. What in God's name induced me to come here? To complain to one madman about another? If that swine thinks he could court-martial me, I shall go to Paris. He can't touch me there. Damn you. Damn you all. Now, henceforth, and forever and ever.
Amen. Oh, are you leaving, Mr. Kozhukin?
Yes, Archbishop, I am.
All the papers being burned.
and the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Sukkoth. About 600,000 on foot, that were men besides children. Ah, Russia.
Oh, General Khrushchev. How strange.
Mr. Kozyukin was here a moment ago. Was it you who sent me a Bible as a present?
Well, General, I thought...
You read it in the train at night when I was bored. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them, they sank as lead in the mighty waters. Exodus.
Good, good.
How's that for a man the commander-in-chief thinks is off his head? What are you hanging around here for?
General, I am not hanging around. I am waiting for the commander-in-chief.
To him who waits shall be given. Do you know what you will get if you wait here any longer?
What?
The Reds.
Will they really be necessary?
Here are you and I sitting calmly swapping quotations from the Bible, and at this very moment the Red Cavalry is galloping down on Sebastopol from the north.
Ah.
Look over here, out of the window.
Is that dawn? Oh, Lord, have mercy on us.
Yes, dawn. Run, Archbishop, and board that ship while you still can.
Oh, Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us.
Thank God. I've been waiting for you. Are they all embarked?
The Ukrainian guerrillas gave the cavalry a mauling, but most of them managed to get away. I had a comfortable journey. I pushed my way to a corner seat in the train so that nobody trod on my toes. I felt I was back in the kitchen in the dark.
What?
And when I was a boy, I went into the kitchen when it was dark. There were cockroaches on the stove. I lit a match, and they all ran away. Then the match went out, and I could hear their feet. It was like that on the retreat. Darkness and rustling. Just like the cockroaches. Straight into a bucket of water. Off the edge of the kitchen table and plop.
Thank you, General, for all you have done for the Crimean front with your great strategic skill. I shall not keep you any longer. I myself am moving into a hotel for the night.
Nearer to the quayside?
If you do not change your tone, General, I shall have you arrested.
I thought you might try that. My bodyguard is outside in the hall.
Oh, no, I was wrong. You're not ill. You've been putting on this clownish performance for the past year to conceal the fact that you hate me.
I admit I hate you.
Yes, you're jealous, hmm? Want to take command yourself?
No. I hate you for dragging me into this shambles. Oh. Where are the Allied troops we were promised? What has become of the Russian Empire? Why did you try to fight the Soviets when you were so weak? Can't you understand the hatred a man feels when he is forced to act, yet knows that whatever he does is hopeless? You were right before. I am sick, and you are the cause of it. However, all this is pointless. We're both heading for oblivion now.
Then I advise you to stay here in this palace. That'll be your quickest route to oblivion.
Yes, that's a thought. But I haven't had time to make up my mind yet.
Well, I shall not keep you, General.
Dismissing your faithful servant. For thee have I shed my blood like water in ceaseless fight. Oh, Alexander the Great is supposed to be a hero. Heroes don't go about smashing chairs.
One more word, if you dare.
Captain, see, the cavalry training school from Simferopol has arrived. Everything's ready.
Very good. Let us go. We shall meet again.
Empty. And a good thing, too. Dark rooms. Chandeliers wrapped in muslin bags.
Hello? Anybody there? Nobody?
Shall I sit in here and wait for the Reds? No, that won't solve my problem. Will you go away or not, soldier? I know I could walk right through you, just as the train drove through the fog last night. There. Walk through him, and he's gone.
For God's sake, let me come in, Your Excellency, just for a minute.
Come in, by all means, if you can see me in the dark.
I know it's a terrible impertinence, but I was promised I could see you personally. Now everyone seems to have vanished, so I came in without being announced.
What do you want?
Your Excellency, I must report an act of criminal violence perpetrated by the counterintelligence section. I want to lodge a complaint about a brutal crime instigated by General Kludov.
I am Kludov.
I thought...
You are alive, aren't you? You haven't been hanged. What is your complaint?
You should learn not to speak till you can see who you're speaking to.
I like the look of you, though. You know, I'm sure I've seen you before. Now, don't be a coward. You came here to say something, so say it.
All right. The day before yesterday, at the railway station, you ordered a woman to be arrested.
Of course. I remember. I recognize you now. Who were you coming to complain to about me?
To the commander-in-chief.
Oh, too late. He's gone. Straight into a bucket of water. Disappeared into oblivion. You can't complain about General Kludov because there's no one to complain to any longer.
Oh, is that the main entrance? I want to speak to Captain Golovan.
Yeah. Listen, Captain. Take an escort and go over to the counterintelligence section. There's a woman being held there under my orders. Her name's Kozhukin, isn't it?
Yes, Serafima Kozhukin.
Yes, Serafima Kozhukin. If she hasn't been shot, bring her here to me at once. Well, let's wait and see.
If she hasn't been shot, were they planning to shoot her? If they've done that, sir...
Come on, pull yourself together and behave like a man.
Still shouting at people!
All right, I'll pull myself together. If she's dead, I'll kill you.
It might be the best way, but you could never kill anybody, I'm afraid.
And you, soldier, if you're going to haunt me, at least talk to me. I might be able to put up with what you have to say, but I can't bear your silence. Or go. I'm a hard man with a strong will, and I'm not going to collapse at the sight of my first ghost. People get over things. You were just one of many who fell under the wheels and got crushed. So why follow me about?
Who are you talking to?
Who was I talking to? Nobody. I was talking to myself.
Yes.
Who is she? Your mistress?
Certainly not. She's just someone I met by chance, but I love her. My God, I must have been mad to bring her away from the monastery into this den of wild beasts. A complete madman.
And now you come in here. When the whole machine has been smashed to pieces, and ask it to work for you. Well, it can't. She's gone. She's been shot.
You're a monster, a wild animal.
Now you're attacking me from both sides. One of them a living madman, the other a soldier who never speaks. My mind's split in two. As the words sound distant, as though I'm underwater, sinking like lead. Damn them both. Hanging onto my legs and dragging me down into the dark.
You are mad. I see it now. What have I done to deserve this? This is the man who murdered her. But what can I do to a man who is raving out of his mind?
Here, my revolver. Catch! That's what you can do. Shoot me. Will you go away now, silent soldier? He may decide to shoot
you. No, I can't shoot you. You disgust me, but I pity you.
What is it? All this play acting. A comedy. A farce. Someone's coming. Him, maybe. We'll soon know. Has she been shot?
No, sir.
She's alive. Where is
she? Shut up. Why didn't you bring her?
This afternoon at 4 o'clock, Major General Charnota forced his way into the counterintelligence offices, removed the prisoner Kozhukin by armed force, and took her away.
Where? Where to?
Shut up, I said. Where to?
On board the SS Vityaz. The Vityaz cast off at 5 o'clock, and half an hour later she was in the open sea.
She's alive.
Take the standard, fall in the escort, march them into the quay, and embark on the St. George. I'll join you later.
May I suggest, sir, that you come with us?
I am in my right mind, Captain. I shall come when I am ready.
Very good, sir.
So now she's on her way to Constantinople.
Yes. But I'm not going to leave you here. Take me to Constantinople.
Hell. Damnation. Hell.
Kludov, we must go while we still can.
Shut up. I've sorted one of them out. So now I'm free to talk to you. What do you want? Should I stay? He doesn't answer. He walks away. Paler and paler, like mist. But he's still standing there,
in the dark.
Rudolph, you are sick. You're delirious. We must go. Now. The ship will leave. We'll miss it.
Hell. Some Seraphima or other, is that her name? Come on. Come on. We're going to Constantinople.
Did such grotesque things happen on the borderline between sanity and madness? Oh, yes, they did. A Turkish symphony. Constantinople. A towering minaret, roofs, and a sleepy little alley running uphill. Veiled Turkish women, Turks in fezes, foreign sailors in white summer rig, a stall selling coconuts, a few white Russian troops in tattered uniforms. And near at hand, something like a fairground booth, crowned by an enormous placard reading Sensation de Constantinople, Course des Cafards. Cockroach races, licensed by the police. Underneath, a betting window with another sign. First race at 5 o'clock. And at the end of the alleyway, near the booth, in Cossack uniform but without epaulettes, Major General Charnota, trying to sell rubber dolls on strings, piled on a tray slung around his neck.
Welfrey! Welfer! Turn somersault! Fire, Red Commissar, for the kids! Achetez pour votre enfant, madame! 50 piastres! All right, 40, 40.
Oh, go to hell, then. Stupid bitch. Back to the harem. My God, what a cesspit this town is.
It is 5 o'clock. A girl's face appears at the betting window.
Ah! Maria Konstantinovna.
What is it, Grigory Lukianich?
Look, do me a favor. Give me credit to put on a bet on Janissary tonight.
Grigory Lukianich, you know I can't.
I'm not a swindler, am I? I'm not some Stambul crook. Can't you trust a general, especially a general with a pitch right next to your race course?
You have to ask Yanko Yankovic.
Ah.
Yanko Yankovic, come out here!
What's the matter? Can't a man button the collar of his dress shirt in peace? Oh, it's you! What do you want?
Look, I just wondered if you could possibly...
No!
Hey! Where's your manager? Come before I even ask you!
Because I know what you're going to ask.
Oh, do you really? What was I going to say?
What I am going to say is no credit to anybody.
Why?
There's a bed bug crawling on you, Grigory Lukianich. Pick it off.
The hell with it. Why should I bother... God, this town. I've seen some places in my time, but this... I've been everywhere, seen the most beautiful cities in the world.
What cities have you seen, Grigory Lukianich?
Lord, I've seen... Kharkov, Rostov, Kiev. Oh. Now, Kiev, there's a beautiful city. The monastery glittering on the hilltop, and the Dnieper. Yeah, the lines, indescribable. Yanko, come out here again!
What do you want now?
My God, you're a sight for sore eyes, Yanko, in your white tie and tails. The cockroach king. You're a born financier like all your race.
Yeah, if you're going to start all that anti-Semitism again, you can talk to someone else.
Hey, you told me you were Hungarian.
All the same, I don't like...
Oh, I say good luck to all Hungarians. I'll make you a proposition, Yanko Yankovic. I want to liquidate my business, all the dolls and the tray as well.
50.
50 what?
Piastres.
You must be joking. I sell the dolls at 50 apiece.
Fine. Go on selling
them. Bloodsucker.
You don't have to take my offer if you don't want it.
It's lucky for you, Yanko Yankovic, that I didn't get my hands on you in the Crimea.
Yeah, this isn't the Crimea, thank God.
You can have the cartridge pockets from my tunic. They're silver.
I'll give you £2.50 piastres for your cartridge pockets and the tray full of rubber.
They're yours.
Yeah, it's a deal. 5 o'clock! We are open! This way, gentlemen!
Aria Maria Konstantinovna, 2 pounds 50 piastres on Yalseri to win.
Messieurs, dames, les courses commencent. The races are open. A game never before played outside the walls of the Imperial Palace of the Tsar. Course de Gaffaud, Corso di Fiatel, cockroach racing. The favourite pastime of Her Late Majesty the Tsarina of Sakoya Stella. Place your bets now, ladies and gentlemen. Go! And our friends from the Italian and British warships in the harbour. Yes, yes. The runners for the first race on tonight's card. Number 1, Black Pearl. Number 2, the favourite, Yanisera. Very good. Number 3, Baba Yaga. Number 4, Don't Cry Baby. And a grey cockroach with black spots. Number 6, Hooligan. And number 7, Button. Everything is above board. The cockroaches run on open planks with paper jockeys. They live in a sealed box under the supervision of a professor of entomology from the Imperial University of Kazan, who has just escaped from the Bolsheviks. No more bets now, gentlemen. No. They are under starter's order.
He's run out!
He's run out? He can't have! I'll kill Yanko!
It's a swindle! Yanko got Janissary drunk on beer, and the sailors have started fighting!
Get the police! The place is full of sailors and prostitutes! They're smashing everything!
Ladro! Struttore! Truffatore!
Giovanni, kill Yanko! Ignatore!
It's a good race!
Nobody cares!
Nobody is the winner!
Yeah, cockroaches can't get drunk!
Oh, have you ever seen a drunken cockroach?
Oh,
please.
Help!
I'll
go! Someone's brought Yanko to make Denisery lose, and Button's win! The face is lying on his back and waving his legs in the air, completely pissed!
But Major General Carnota doesn't stay to watch. He has had enough fighting. He hurries away to the courtyard of a two-storied Turkish house with a gallery running round the first floor, where there is a cypress tree and water dripping into a stone basin from an ornamental water pipe, and shade at evening.
Bloody cockroaches. Godly, you're going to skin me alive. Maybe I should run away, but where? This isn't the Crimea. Running away won't help now. Oh, Christ. There she is on the balcony.
Ah, good evening, General.
Hello, Yuska.
Why are you back so early? If I were you, I'd find any excuse to stay out of things at home being what they are. But I believe I can see good news written on your expressive face. No rubber dolls, no train, no silver cartridge pockets either. Hand over the money, then. Serafima and I haven't eaten since yesterday morning.
Where is Serafima?
Doesn't matter. Just give me the money.
It has been a disaster, Liuska.
What? Where are your cartridge pockets?
Well, I was going to sell them, and I put them in a box, and I took it out for a moment in the Grand Bazaar, and...
It was stolen.
Yes.
By a man with a black beard, I suppose.
What are you talking about?
It's always a man with a black beard who steals things from fools in the Grand Bazaar. Tell me the truth. Are they really stolen?
Oh,
I see. Do you know what you are, Grigori Chernota?
What am I?
You're a miserable, stupid bastard.
Oh, Liuska, how can you say such a thing?
I have a right to say it. That box and those rubber dolls were bought with my money.
Well, good as man and wife, so the money belongs to both of us.
Oh, does it? You earn it from selling dolls, but I earn it from selling a different sort of goods.
What do you mean?
Oh, don't be such a fool. Where do you think I went with that Frenchman last week? To church? We lived on that £5 for a week, you and I and Serafima. But that's not all, is it? You didn't lose that box and your cartridge pockets at the Grand Bazaar. You lost them at the cockroach races. So,
Where does that leave us, eh? The heroic General Charnota smashed up the counterintelligence section so he was drummed out of the army. Now he's flat-broke in Constantinople and I, like a bloody fool, am living with him.
You can't blame me for saving a woman from being shot.
I don't, but I can say what I think about her. Let dear, pure Serafima go on living and sighing for her long-lost Golubkov. And let gallant General Charnota go on living too. Let them both go on living off the earnings of Liuska, the whore.
Liuska.
You shouldn't eavesdrop, Serafima. Doesn't suit you.
I wasn't. I just came round from the back of the house with the water bucket. I couldn't help hearing.
Why didn't you tell me about those £5 before? Oh, come on, Serafima, you're not blind.
I swear to you, I had no idea. I thought he'd bought you the £5. But don't worry, Liuska, I'll pay it back.
Spare me the high-minded stuff, for God's sake.
There's no point in quarrelling. We should talk it over, like said.
There's nothing to talk about. Tomorrow the Greeks will throw us out of the house. There's nothing to eat and we sold everything.
Liuska,
no, I refuse to keep calm. It's all his fault that we're in this state. You gambled with it and lost, didn't you?
Yes, I...
Oh, you...
Liuska, I'm a soldier! I can't sell another dollar!
Oh, stop it, Liuska! Listen! Stop it! What difference would £2 or £3 have made anyway?
Did you really sleep with that Frenchman?
Oh, shut up and go to hell! For God's sake, be quiet, both of you. I'm going to see what I can get for supper.
Oh, just mind your own business, Serafima, and leave us alone!
Don't get yourself in a state about me. I'm a whore, and I'm not going to stop now. I refuse to sit here and starve. I haven't got any principles.
I refuse to sit and starve, too. But I also refuse to eat at someone else's expense. I can't just sit here like a hypocrite knowing you're out earning a rent on the street.
Ugh.
You should have told me. If we're really in the gutter, at least let's both be in it together.
Charnota could sell his revolver.
Liuska, I'll sell my trousers. I'll sell anything on him. Not my revolver. I can't live without a revolver.
More use than your brains. Go ahead, then. Live off us women.
Don't push me too far, Warlord.
Oh, what? If you so much as touch me, I'll poison you.
Stop it! Why do you two have to fight all the time? What good does it do? If you're starving, I'll go out and earn a supper.
What are you talking about, fool?
I'm not a fool. What does it matter what we sell? It's all the same in the end. Wait up for me, but please, no more fighting.
Serafima! I didn't mean...
Serafima!
My God, this awful place. The bedbugs, the Bosphorus. And worst of all, you.
Shut up, you miserable bitch.
I hate you. I hate myself and I hate all Russians. We're rotten to the core. I'm going inside.
Where can I go? Paris, Berlin, Madrid. Never been to Spain. I bet it's a filthy hole. I might as well go up the steps, too. Nothing to do out here.
Hey, shut up, that racket! What? Drop the fucking racket!
What? Gregory Charnota! They told me I'd find you if I went on looking, and I have!
Who's that? It's the professor! All done up in a British Army tunic and the bag!
I found you!
I thought you were dark, but look at you, Sergei!
You've aged. We thought you'd stayed with the Bolsheviks. Where the hell have you been for the last 6 months?
In an internment camp. And then I caught typhus and spent 2 months in a hospital. And when they let me out, I walked all the way to Constantinople. Kludov put me up in his flat. You do know he was dismissed from the army.
And so was I. I had a slight difference of opinion with the commander-in-chief and... Well, we get all sorts here, Sergei, but I've never had anyone playing a barrel organ before.
A barrel organ has its uses. I can go from courtyard to courtyard, and that way I can look for her. Is she dead? Don't be afraid to tell me. I can take anything now.
No. Seraphima's not dead. Not at all. She got well. Now she's fine.
She's alive.
Oh, of course she's alive. But I must warn you, Professor. Yes, we're in a bit of a bad way here. We've just about hit rock bottom. And...
Where is she, then?
Oh, she's here. She'll be back in a moment. She's gone to pick up a man on the pera.
What?
There's no point in looking at me like that. We're starving. I've even sold my cartridge pockets.
You don't really mean she's going to the pera for men, do you?
You must be lying.
Well, there's no point in lying anymore. Oh, perhaps I ought to go to Madrid. I dreamt about Madrid last night.
We won't be interrupted, will we?
Oh, no, we'll be very comfortable. We'll sit down and have a nice talk, just the two of us. We live just like gypsies here.
That's nice. I don't want to get in anyone's way.
Let me introduce you to General Sarnotta. Gregory, don't be so rude.
Oh, very pleased to meet you, sir.
Oh, my God. Krokov.
You, Greek, get out!
Oh,
God! God, what are you doing?
Oh, God, the shame.
Look here, you're better.
Go on! Are you robbers?
Forgive me, monsieur, please. This is terrible. They don't understand.
Oh, and now everybody's opening their windows. Mind your own business. Get back inside before I shoot you.
Oh, God, I'm bleeding.
You don't get out of here.
Oh, take my money and my watches. Take all my parcels and my shopping. I am a poor merchant. I give you everything for my life. I have a wife, shop, children, a good man. I say nothing to the police.
Just get out.
Oh, you stumble where the place it has become.
And take all your parcels with you.
No, I don't want them. I don't
want them. Well, Mr. Kolukov. We were just talking about you. You chose a brilliant moment to turn up.
What happened to you, Serafima? I walked halfway across the Balkans. I've been in hospital. Look, they shaved my head. All that to find you. And look what you've become.
You have no right to blame me.
I love you. I've been looking for you for the last 6 months to tell you that.
Let me go. Get away from me. You bore me with all this drivel. Why the hell did you have to come stepping after me as though I were a bitch on heat? We're finished. I don't ever want to see any of you again. I just want to creep into a hole in the ground somewhere and die of shame after such humiliation.
No, please, don't go.
I'm going. I will never come back.
No. Quickly, give me your dagger.
You want to end up in prison?
Let me go. I don't care what happens. I'll find her and make her come back. Somehow. You'll see.
Great performance, eh? The Greeks have been routed. So, open one of those parcels to note I'm hungry.
No, I won't even touch them. Not one.
Well, he's right. I won't open them either.
Oh, so you won't open them either. Right. That's it. I've had enough of you, Grigori Tanuta. And I've had enough of Constantinople, too. I shall get my hat and pack my bundle, and then it's goodbye and good luck. Liuska knows someone who works on the Orient Express, and Liuska was a fool to wait 6 months in this stinking city.
Oh, where are you going?
To Paris, Grigori. So for the last time, goodbye.
So, just the two of us.
Here, Effendi, by the water pipe.
Who's that coming up the alley?
My God, I recognize him, but he's so old and gray. It's Roman Kludov.
Yes, it is.
Oh, hi, so you've turned up too. It's no use looking where my cartridge pockets were. I'm a civilian too now, like
how
you.
How are you, Grigori? We do seem to follow one another about, don't we? First, I cured Golubkov of typhus. Now he's trying to think how he can cure me. Any luck with the barrel organ?
Yes, I found her. Don't ask me any more about her. Don't ask me anything.
Wasn't going to. Your affair. I only wanted to know whether you found her.
Listen, Kludov, I've one last favor to ask you, and you're the only man who can do it. Find her. She's left me. Stop her going on the streets.
Why can't you do it?
Because this very moment, sitting here by this water pipe, I've made a decision. I'm going to Paris. I'm going to find Kozhukin. He's a rich man, and he ruined her. He must help.
They'll never let you into France.
I won't go legally. I was on the dockside today, playing my barrel organ, and I made friends with the ship's captain. He promised I could stow away in his hold, and he'd take me to Marseille.
So, how long must I be her jailer?
I'll be back just as soon as I can, and I swear to you, I'll never ask you to do anything for me again.
I'm paying a big price for that railway station business. No, I can't say anything. Not here.
Fine jailer, you'll make.
Anyway, it won't do it.
No, don't look at him. He's trying to convince himself.
Where did she go?
Oh, probably back to the Greek shop to say sorry. I know where it is.
Keep her at my place, shall I? She won't get away from me. A certain soldier once said, quite rightly, no one gets away from me. Listen. Listen. Now, let's take this medallion from my watch chain. Things get difficult, you can sell it.
Nearly night. This stifling, unendurable city. Anyway, no time to waste. I've got to be on board that ship tonight.
I'm coming with you. I don't believe we'll get anything out of that bastard. Because you can, but I gotta go somewhere. I was thinking of Madrid, but Paris, that sounds more like me.
This stinking hothouse never cools down. Not even at night.
So, if it's Paris, let's go to Paris!
This is another kind of dream altogether. Not Russian tragedy, but French farce. Korzhukin has done very well for himself. A desk, telephones, and a very large safe. And a card table laid ready for a game. Oh, yes. Another kind of life altogether.
Avant. Monsieur Marchand m'avait averti qu'il ne viendra pas aujourd'hui. Ne remuez pas à la table, je m'en servirai plus tard.
Don't you understand me?
No, sir, I don't.
Oh, God, you're a Russian blockhead. Will you learn that when you live in Paris, Russian is only any use for swearing or shouting revolutionary slogans, and it's rude to do either in Paris. You must learn French, Antoine. Show them in while I put on my smoking jacket. Whoever it is might like a game of cards.
Je voudrais parler à Monsieur Korzhukin.
The card? What's the card, Monsieur?
You're Russian, and I thought you were French.
My name's Grishenko.
Look, I haven't got any visiting cards at the moment. Just here's Golubkov from Constantinople.
Very good, sir. Golubkov from Constantinople. Never heard of him.
Golubkov.
Well, my dear sir, what can I do for you?
I'm not surprised you don't recognize me in my bell-bottom trousers and sailor's cap. We met a year ago, that terrible night on a railway station in the Crimea when your wife was arrested. She's in Constantinople now, and on the verge of ruin.
I'm sorry, but firstly, I have no wife, and secondly, I remember nothing about a railway station.
What? It was night time. There was a bit of frost. Surely you remember.
I'm afraid I remember no such thing. You must be mistaken.
But you're Paramon Korzhukin, aren't you? I recognize you. You were in the Crimea.
It's true. I did spend some time in the Crimea when those lunatic white generals were running wild. But I have nothing more to do with Russia. I have become a naturalized French citizen. I was never married. And though it's no business of yours, I should mention that a Russian emigre lady who has also taken French citizenship and a French surname, Fréjol, has been living here for the past 3 months in the capacity of my private secretary. This charming creature has so touched my heart that I intend to marry her shortly. You will realize, therefore, that I find any remarks about a woman alleged to be my wife both painful and tactless.
You're disowning your own wife. She was escaping across Bolshevik Russia to join you.
What does that prove? The white counterintelligence people have already tried to blackmail me once with some trumped-up story about a woman who was supposed to be my wife and a communist into the bargain. Monsieur Golubkov, I regret to say I find this conversation extremely unpleasant.
I see. She's an embarrassment to you, so she no longer exists. Good. Because I love her, and I'll do anything to save her. But I beg you to help me. Everybody knows you're a very rich man. Lend me $1,000, and as soon as we're back on our feet, I swear to you on my oath that I'll pay it back.
Forgive me for being a cynic, Monsieur Golubkov, but I somehow guessed that this conversation about a mythical wife was leading towards the subject of money. $1,000, you said? I think I must have misheard you.
Yes, $1,000. I swear I'll pay it all back.
Just a moment, young man, before you start talking so casually about $1,000. Let me tell you what $1 is worth. $1. The almighty God. It's everywhere. A vague tremor. No sound, nothing more perhaps than a rumbling in the bowels of the earth. But there are trains down there, and there are dollars in them. Imagine waves as high as mountains. The ocean, a hungry beast that swallows men. But on that ocean sails a monster, with hissing boilers and thundering engines and bright lights. And down among the naked and sweating stokers is the monster's golden cargo, its godlike heart, the dollar. And suddenly, there's trouble in the world. And there they go, marching away, their heads welded into metal helmets, marching, running, throwing themselves into rows of barbed wire. Why do they do it? Because somewhere, someone has offended the almighty dollar. And then the trouble is over. Everyone is blowing trumpets and shouting for joy. The war is over. The dollar is avenged. Long live the dollar. So, Monsieur Golubkov, are you still going to insist on my handing over $1,000 to a total stranger?
No. But before I go, Kosyukin, I should like to tell you something. You are the most inhuman, corrupt, the most revolting creature I have ever been unlucky enough to set eyes on. One day, retribution will catch up with you. It must. Goodbye.
General Charnota to see you, sir.
Today seems to be a Russian day. All right, show him up.
Ah, Paramar.
How are you?
I don't believe I've had the pleasure.
Yeah, what a thing to say. Come now, you can't have forgotten. Sebastopol.
Yes. Of course. Delighted. Forgive me, you seem to be wearing no trousers and bright yellow underpants.
Yes. Well, why not? If I were a woman, it would be indecent, but I'm not, so it isn't.
You mean to say, General, that you've been walking around the streets of Paris dressed like that?
No, of course not. In the street, I was wearing trousers, but I took them off in your hall. What an idiotic question.
Pardon, monsieur.
Did he give you the money?
No. Come on, I'm going. I can't bear
go?
It here.
Go? Where have we got to go to? Just wait.
Look here, Paramount. Is this any way to behave? Here are two of your fellow countrymen who risked their lives for you fighting the Bolsheviks, and you refuse them a trifling sum of money. But don't you understand? Serafima is starving in Constantinople.
Come on, Grigory, let's go.
Do you know, I never thought I could live to say such a thing, but I would have volunteered for the Bolsheviks just to have the chance of shooting you. Well, I would have shot you and then deserted and joined the Whites again. So you got the card table out. Do you play?
Why shouldn't I? I am, in fact, very fond of the game of cards.
So, you're a card player. What do you play?
Well, I'm very fond of nines.
So am I. You play with me?
I'd love to. But I'm afraid I only play for cash.
Grigory, stop humiliating yourself. Let's go.
I'm not humiliating myself. Don't you worry. Don't worry. Remember what Kudot said. As a last resort, well, this is it. Give me the medallion.
Whatever you like. I'm past caring, and I'm going.
No, you're not. I'm not letting you out on the street with a face like that. You'll end up in the river. Kazukin. How much for this medallion?
Very nice little thing. Let's see, $10?
Oh, really, Paramount, it's worth much more than that. You obviously know nothing about these things. But, yeah, it's a deal. It's a deal. Right. Cards?
Cards!
name here?
Sir, slave of yours.
Antoine.
Oh, yes, Antoine. Antoine, be a good chap. Bring me something to eat, will you? And a drink.
Very good, sir. Well, Longstone.
So, what stake shall we play for?
For $10 I've just given you. Card, please.
Nine.
Quits.
Nine again.
Quits again.
Another card.
Yes. Thank you. A seven.
But I got an eight.
Quits. Frank, are you crazy? He'll keep doubling and he'll win it all back.
If you think you can play this game better than I can, then you sit down and I'll watch.
I don't know how to play.
Don't stand in my light then. Card?
Yes, please. Damn it. Bust.
I have a three.
Oh, surely you'll buy on a three.
I might, on occasions. But only when I need to. Hmm?
Ah, Antoine. Snack and some drinks. Glass of wine, Dulco?
No, thank you.
What about you, Paramount?
Merci, I've just had dinner.
Oh, mm-hmm. Card?
Yes. For $160.
Uh-huh.
Ah, yeah.
$160, it is. Mm-hmm. A nine.
Incredible. I've never had such luck. $320, then.
I want it in cash.
Charlotte, I beg you, stop it. Stop it now.
Be a good chap and find yourself something to do while you're gone. Look at this photograph album or something. I said cash, please.
It's in the safer. It'll take a moment.
What's happening?
There's a burglar alarm at
all. All right. Everybody stand where they are.
Never mind, Antoine. You can put away that revolver and go. I opened it.
Very impressive. So, here we are then. Ah, eight.
Right. $640.
No, bank won't accept that stake.
You've played this game before, haven't you? How much will you accept?
50.
50 it is. Nine.
Bust.
Well, you can give some back to me. It'll change.
Very well.
590.
You know, the trouble with you, Paramount, is that you're a born gambler. You can't help yourself, can you?
Charlotte, for God's sake, let's go.
Give me a card. Seven.
Oh, sorry, seven and a half. No, I'm joking. It's an eight.
Golubkov can't stand any more. He lies on the sofa and covers his ears as the burglar alarm goes off again. It is night now. Outside the window, Paris is all lights and music. Inside, candles in pink shades are burning on the card table. Kurzhukin has his jacket off. His hair is tousled from constant raking with his fingers. And the pile of money on the table grows and grows.
Bust. 400, please. I stake. 3,000. A seven.
A nine.
Well, perhaps a
nine. In cash.
The alarm bell goes off again and again, so that it seems as though every burglar in Paris is raiding Kurzhukin's flat. And now it is dawn, palely breaking over the sleeping city. There are empty champagne bottles scattered about the floor as Golubkov tries to stuff all the notes into his pockets.
Haven't you got some newspaper we could rabbit in?
No, I tell you what. Give me back the cash, and I'll give you a check instead.
Oh, no, thank you. What sort of a bank would pay out $20,000 to a man in yellow underpants?
Sir? No, sir, buy back my medallion. I want to give it back.
It'll cost you $300.
Oh, why not? I can afford it. I'll put the money on the floor. You lob me the medallion. Yeah. Well, au revoir, Paramount. That was a good game of cards. Now time to go.
No, stop. I'm not well. You wouldn't take advantage of a sick man, would you? Now, look, give me back the money and I'll give you $500 each.
You must be joking.
In that case, I shall immediately ring the police and tell them you've robbed me. A couple of tramps. You, without even a decent pair of trousers.
No, you won't. Not if you want to stay alive. Well, a good job I didn't sell my revolver, huh? You'd better start praying.
Murder! No! Out of the street! Help, please!
What is it, sir?
Where's your gun, you idiot?
I forgot it.
What's going on?
my God.
Lucy, my darling, I'm being robbed by a couple of Russian thugs.
I thought I had a right to some peace by now.
How dare you frighten Mademoiselle Fraser from her bed in her pajamas?
I came to cockroaches last night, and now I know why. How did you two get here?
Liuska? It can't be.
You know who Mademoiselle Fraser?
Please, I beg you.
How should I know her? I've never seen her in my life.
Let me introduce myself, then. Lucy Fréjol.
Major General Charnota.
Well, what seems to be wrong, gentlemen? Why were you screaming like that, Ratty?
He's won $20,000 off me, and I wanted to give them back.
I never heard of such disgusting behavior.
No, really, Ratty, that simply isn't done. You've lost, and that's that. You're not a little boy.
Where did Antoine buy those cards?
You brought them yourself, Paramon Ilyich.
Now get out of here, Antoine. How dare you appear in front of me in your underwear?
I'm not the only one, am I?
Gentlemen, the money is yours, and there is no misunderstanding. Now, go on, my little boy. Run away to bed. You've got bags under your eyes.
I'll sack that idiot, Antoine. I don't want any more Russians in this house.
Well.
Liuska.
Delightful as it is to see some of my fellow countrymen. I'm sorry that I won't see either of you again. You've won. So get out while the going's good.
Au revoir, mademoiselle.
No. Goodbye. And goodbye to you, Golubkov. Look after Serafima. Oh, Charnota.
What?
Buy yourself a pair of trousers.
The last dream is Constantinople. A room furnished in the Turkish style with carpets and a hookah. Through the French window, minarets and domes, and the top of Yanko Yankovich's cockroach racing booth. Sitting cross-legged on the carpet, Khudov is talking to someone. We know who.
That's enough torture. I know what I must do now. You're not the only one. There are living people, too. Our fates are intertwined. You must see that and accept it as I have accepted it. The only thing I can't understand is you. How did you and you alone escape from that long line of lampposts under the blue lights? You weren't the only one. There were many more. How many? I'll never remember them all. And it was for nothing. If I'd not hanged them, the Bolsheviks would still have won. But how did you come so far to catch me? How did you throw this black sack over my head? Well, you can go now. I've made up my mind. As soon as Kadukov comes back, I'm leaving. Put my mind at rest now. Just nod to me if you will leave me alone. You were a great talker, Krapilin, once. So you can spare me a nod now. Oh, you nodded. I'll go.
You're doing it again, Roman.
What?
Talking to yourself. There's no one in the room except you.
You must have been hearing things. Anyway, I do mutter to myself.
For 4 months, I've been listening to the sound of your voice. Through the wall, it keeps me awake.
I'll give you another room. Close, so I can still keep an eye on you. I got some money. I sold a ring. It would be very comfortable, but what can you expect? We lost. And do you know why we lost? He knows. And so do I. I feel ill at ease, too, with you next door. But I must keep my word.
Like Wingolobkov left. And you drag me back by force.
When a person goes out of her mind, you have to use force.
That day I started to feel sorry for you. That's why I stayed.
I don't need a nursemaid.
No, don't get angry. That upsets you more than it hurts me.
I can't hurt people anymore. Clued off the beast, clued off the jackal.
No, that's all in the past. Forgotten.
Not by me. I have to remember it.
We must make up our minds. Do something.
How long are we going to stay here?
As soon as Glupov comes back, I'll hand you over to him. And then it's goodbye to this stinking place.
We must have been mad to let him go. I probably lost him. Maybe he's dead.
Cockroach races. What a disgusting farce. They say I'm mad. But look at them.
I made up my mind last night. The Reds are letting the Cossacks go back to Russia. So I'm going to go back to Petersburg.
That's very sensible. You did nothing. There's no reason why you shouldn't.
There's just the one thing that holds me back. What's going to happen to you?
Come here.
What?
The White Counterintelligence is after me. They never let me out of their sight. So I'm going back to Russia, too. Maybe even tonight.
You're going secretly. Under a false name.
My own name. I shall just turn up and say, I've arrived. I am Kludov.
They'll shoot you.
At once. All my trouble's over. There. You see? He has moved away.
You must be mad. Do you want to die? Stay here. You might get better.
I got better today. I'm completely well now. I am not a cockroach. I am not going to scuttle round in the dark till I fall off the edge and drown in a bucket. I can't forget. Those men with sacks over their heads. That's why I've got to go back.
Who can that be?
Yes? Oh! Sergei!
Yes!
Oh, Grigori!
Oh, who else could it be? Remember the enemy! We are...
Well, aren't you going to say something?
So... Here they are, didn't I tell you?
Fever, darling.
John Ota, come out onto the balcony for a moment. Yes. I want a word.
Oh, yes.
No, don't cry.
Don't cry. What are you crying for, Seraphima? Look, I'm back.
I thought you were dead. Although you knew how I've missed you. You're never to leave me again. I shan't let you go.
Of course I won't. That's all over now. Now we've got to think about what we're going to do.
As soon as you went, I came to my senses. I've had visions of you wandering about Paris, ragged and hungry. And there's something seriously wrong with Kludov. He frightens me.
Don't, Seraphima, not now.
Did you see my husband?
Yes, I saw him. He's given you up completely. Found himself another wife, in fact. Well, it doesn't matter about her. The point is, you're free now.
Thanks, Kludov. So, everything's all right now, is it? My advice to you, Glupkov, is to go where she tells you to go. Goodbye, everybody.
Where are you going?
There's a steamer leaving tonight, and I'm leaving with it. But don't tell a soul.
Ramon, think again. For God's sake, you can't do that.
It's no use. You won't stop him.
I tell you what, Charnota. You come with me. Why not, eh?
Wait a minute. I just realized where you're going. You're not serious, are you? You do realize that you'll only live long enough for them to get you off the boat to the nearest wall, don't you? And under a strong guard so that the people don't tear you to bits on the way. You've got a big reputation back there, my old friend. And you think I'm going back with you to face that? There's plenty chalked up against my name, too. Only no lamppost, though. I didn't do any hanging.
Charnota, stop it. He's a sick man.
I'm trying to stop him from going.
You're going to miss Russia, Charnota.
You don't have to tell me that. I miss it already. I miss Kiev. I miss the Dnieper. I miss the fighting. I've never run away from death, but you won't find me running back to it either. For pity's sake, Roman, don't go.
I'm going.
Goodbye.
Seraphima, stop him.
I can't.
No. No one will stop him now.
And what will you two do?
Let's go back and ask permission to return, Sergei. Let's go back tonight.
Yes, let's go back. I can't spend the rest of my life wandering aimlessly from place to place.
Yes, you'll be fine. They'll probably let you in. We must divide up the money.
What money? Did you blackmail Kozhukin?
He won $20,000 from him. At cards.
In that case, he can keep it.
I don't want any either. And I've come back, and that's all I care about. We'll get to Russia somehow. What you've already given me will be enough.
Well, now, for the last time, do you want it? You don't. Too much integrity. Right, right. That's it, then. Fate brought us together, now it throws us apart. One of us puts his head into a noose, two of you want to go back to Petersburg, and me... Well, what am I now? I'm the wandering Jew, I'm the flying Dutchman, I'm... nothing at all. Aha! Aha! Do you hear that? Ah! The cockroach riches have begun! Hey, I'm telling you, so don't you stall without me! And if I don't win this time, I shall buy you! And all your filthy cockroaches too!
I can't bear 1 minute longer in this terrible city.
What happened these past 6 months again? Was it all a dream? Where were we running to? Lampposts on the platform. Dangling men with black sacks over their heads. Then this heat. This stink. And the despair. I want to see the Nevsky again. I want to see the snow. I want to forget all this as though it had never happened.
None of it happened. We imagined it all. In a month, we'll be home. Then it will start snowing, and the snow will cover our tracks. We are going back.
We're going back. No more dreams.
But it did happen. It could only have happened in Russia. And it wasn't a dream.
In Flight by Mikhail Bulgakov, adapted for radio by Don Taylor, Kludov was played by Kenneth Haig, Charnota by Tom Georgeson, and Serafina by Joanne Pierce. Golubkov was played by Jamie Glover, Kozhulkin by Charles Kay, Liuska, Adjua Ando, Commander-in-Chief and the Abbot, Peter Jeffrey, De Brizard and Tiki, Peter Woodward, Athanasius, Commandant, Grudin, Jerome Willis, Baev, Krapilin, Skunsky, and Antoine, Anthony Jackson, Paisios, Station Master, Yanko Yankovich, John Baddeley, who also played the amorous Greek, Golovan, Trooper, and Cossack, Jonathan Dryden Taylor, Maria and the Prostitute, Rachel Atkins, and the playwright was played by Michael N. Harbour. The musical director was Mark Etherington, and incidental music was taken from the works of Alexander Mosolov and Nikolai Myaskovsky. The production assistant was Joe Green. The studio managers were Tim Sturgeon, Rosamund Mason, and Jane Napier. The play was directed by Don Taylor. Flight was an independent production for BBC Radio 3 by First Rights Radio.